There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Capped off by a Kareem. We've got Nate Taylor joining us, his regular visit each and every Tuesday. He, of course, was at the game late last night at Arrowhead, and our conversations with Nate Taylor are presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. We'll get to the mistake from Todd Bowles and two-point conversion stuff at some point, I'm sure. Well, what's going on, Nate?
I am well.
You get any sleep last night?
Hell no. I appreciate you asking. No, it was difficult to go to sleep just because your boy is in mid writing of the Mahomes feature for the halfway point of the season. Oh. So I am.
I'm glad it's only the halfway point and not the end of the season for him.
Right. He made it super complicated for you because it is a not easy story to tell this year.
No. I mean, look, it's extremely captivating. There's reporting I have that I don't believe anybody else has done yet. Okay. So,
all right.
Can you give us a hint? Or is this just saving it all for the article?
I mean, the mothership, the New York Times / The Athletic would like for me to
keep that under wraps?
Yeah, give you a tease.
All right, when do I get to read it at least?
Hopefully on Friday.
Okay.
Would be like, if it was up to me, this thing would run Friday before they play the Denver Broncos on Sunday. You know, it doesn't look like, at least as of right now, like the Chiefs are making a trade. So, yes, ladies and gentlemen, I chose one of the hardest days of the year, the trade deadline, election day, coming off of a Monday Night Football game, to try to get this story to my editor about the idea that Patrick Mahomes continues to evolve. That is basically what the story is about.
Okay.
And, yeah, man, there's just a lot in it. That I think people will obviously find interesting and intriguing, because if he's doing this at this point already, just imagine, because he continues to evolve in a way that I think you can see, and I think there's ways where you can't see, which is obviously what I'm trying to explain.
We'll talk about the game here in just a second, but real quick, you alluded to it there. We're less than 2 hours away from the NFL trade deadline. We know they already made their big move, DeAndre Hopkins, last week or a week and a half ago, whatever it is. At this point in time, are they done?
I think so. I think Lattimore, Marshawn Lattimore, was their number one target when today began, or essentially after last night's game. I know some people will say, well, Nate, they're 8-0. The defense has played pretty well up to this point in the season. Why would they want a veteran cornerback, obviously someone who's been a Pro Bowler before? And I think the one thing that you could point to last night, because you're not going to change the linebackers. And they've struggled, obviously, against covering tight ends all season. But when Baker Mayfield was in an up-tempo two-minute drill,
I picked on a little.
Where is 30 and where is 2? And if you could just mitigate one of those with a better, serviceable, even above-average cornerback alongside opposite Trent McDuffie, then the defense doesn't have as many – you know, doesn't have necessarily as – what appears to be a minor hole that obviously could get bigger as the season goes on. But that's one of the reasons why it's unfortunate that, you know, Jalen Watson is basically done for the year, and he was playing great for the first six games of the season. But Christian Roland Wallace is an undrafted rookie. And, you know, Joshua Williams has basically struggled from training camp on this year. So you can't necessarily you're not really sure what you're going to get from him. So even though I think they're probably done, I think their biggest priority, I guess, from now until 3 o'clock, because I can still obviously make a move, is at the cornerback position, because you can see that the competition last night was not high. But
in Sterling Shepard and
And in a gotta have it drive, Baker Mayfield basically found his one-on-one matchups against those corners. And in the postseason, it will not be Sterling Shepard running routes with the season on the line.
I know the Jalen Watson stuff changed a little bit. Like, I go back through because, I mean, this season, they've faced their fair share of good NFL quarterbacks. Top 10 NFL quarterbacks. I mean, they faced Lamar Jackson, the MVP favorite. They faced Kirk Cousins. They faced Joe Burrow, who's having a tremendous season statistically. I mean, they, you know, like, they've faced their fair share. This is the first time I saw him struggle. In a weird way, I'll wait another time. Baker, to me, is just like, he plays, he's one of the few players, I feel like, just generally in sports, that even though he's probably like the 12th best quarterback and always is, usually the 12th best quarterback, in my opinion, is just like, the reason why they're that is they're steady. They don't screw anything up. They just live their life. They go about it. They Alex Smith their way through life, and they're fine. Baker's a gamer.
Yes.
The reason why he's the 12th best quarterback is like, things start heating up, and you get the best version of Baker. I might just chalk up the two-minute warning to that before I start panicking if I were the Chiefs. Baker just does stuff like that sometimes.
Yeah, and he's not afraid of Patrick Mahomes because obviously he's battled against him.
Great college game.
Yes. And so that was why his reaction to the coin toss was so so enlightening, so entertaining, and so relatable. Because I was like, I don't agree with Todd Bowles.
It's a stupid decision.
Yeah, we've all been there, right? We've seen it. I don't know who it was on Twitter last night, and it was a great analogy of just saying, like, if you don't go for two with less than a minute left with, you know, what appears to be the momentum, and you went right down the field, it's like turning your back on Michael Myers. Yeah. Like, he's gonna get you. Like, he's down. Kill him. Like, do something. Don't
back over him with your car.
Yeah, don't turn around and walk away. But that's essentially what they did. They said, hey, go kick the extra point. And then Baker Mayfield's like, we can't do this. This is not smart. But yeah, I love Baker Mayfield because the game plan was not easy to accomplish. Hey, don't let Chris Jones devour you. You have no receivers of any caliber like Mike Evans or Chris Godwin. And you got to see the blitz and check it down and get it to your guys in open space and hope they miss a couple tackles, which ended up happening. And then when the opportunity was there, he striked to get those two touchdowns to keep them in the game. I mean, you can't ask much more from Baker Mayfield, but I do think Baker Mayfield doesn't have necessarily the cachet or the onions to tell Todd Bowles, I'm not leaving this field.
Yeah.
You know, they're still in a divisional race, so it's not the worst thing in the world. But I do love the way Baker Mayfield has come into his own and can adjust based on the circumstances, because I went into that game thinking they were going to lose by double digits just based on lack of skill position talent available to him.
The other thing, though, other than DeAndre Hopkins himself and how great he looked coming out of the game, that I really liked was Cody and I were discussing the rushing attack. First half, they struggled to run the ball, but only 9 carries for the running backs. And I felt like they got away from the run a little bit. And then we saw them run 3 or 4 straight plays, and the rest is kind of history. Offensively, they started to move the ball again. Kareem Hunt ends up with over 100 yards on 27 carries. That, to me, was a good sign that Andy Reid is willing to not completely avoid the running game just because it doesn't work in the first half, which is what I was really concerned was happening.
Yeah, I heard you guys earlier on this, and I think the best part about it is the conditions, the opponent, and the fact that, look, I don't think Patrick was, like, really comfortable in the first half. Obviously, he got, you know, he ended up with 4 sacks. Mm-hmm. So, hey, it's how can we stabilize things? How can we slow things down and get us back on track? And giving the ball to Kareem Hunt has been a revelation. I never, ever, ever thought he was going to be this good, guys. There was no way to necessarily predict it.
It's crazy.
I think, you know, one of the stats that I just saw, which I don't know, like, if there's a large sample size, but it is something. With 118 touches and 465 scrimmage yards, Kareem Hunt has set a new Super Bowl era record for the most touches and yards by a player signed midseason through his first 5 games with a club. So if you can rely on that, no matter how long it's going to last, That helps stabilize the offensive line. That obviously makes you more balanced, so the defense can't necessarily just focus on the passing attack. And then all of a sudden, hey, you find one-on-one matchups for Travis Kelce. You find one-on-one matchups on the outside for DeAndre Hopkins. And now all of a sudden, this thing is humming. Even despite the quarterback dealing with with a rolled ankle on a slippery field, the coaching staff adjusted really, really well last night when things could have clearly gotten out of hand, where we see it, a bunch of times in the regular season, where you're like, how did that team lose a game? Well, sometimes it's because you didn't have the right game plan and you couldn't adjust, or you didn't have the personnel to like make a change on the fly. Well, the Chiefs are able to do that with an offense that has continued being a revolving door, because this is only DeAndre Hopkins' second game. And they don't have Juju. They don't have Rashee Rice. And Travis Kelce all of a sudden has gone right back to being the world's greatest tight end.
So obviously DeAndre Hopkins is a professional wide receiver like we discussed last week. I was stunned that inside of 10 days, Patrick Mahomes trusts him enough to throw that ball already. I have not seen him throw a ball to a wide receiver like that since Tyreek. It's been years, Nate.
Yes.
He's known it for 10 days, and he's like, good enough.
Yep.
Here comes the ball, DeAndre. You'll probably figure it out. And I just like the idea that they could build that kind of trust is that proves to me that they got into a practice field, and Mahomes thought the exact same thing as us.
Yes.
He threw him a couple of routes, and he's like, that's a professional man. He knows what he's supposed to do.
He really
does. It with his hands or whatever the hell he's supposed to do. All the little things, right? And I feel like he must have just noticed it immediately if he's going to throw it.
Okay, let me remind people, because this is obviously part of the story I'm writing, but like you say, Cody, that he catches the ball with his hands. Dog, last year they had a receiver group that dropped 25 catchable passes, the most of any receiver group since the 2012 Jags, and they won the Super Bowl.
He catches the ball. Like, this sounds so stupid, but like when you watch something finally and it's been a while, it's like when you finally got a quarterback here. He catches the ball differently than their other wide receivers.
Oh, with confidence.
It just looks like he's meaning to do it.
He goes and snags the football out of the air and he gets it.
Yes.
Yeah, he goes and gets it.
And secure against tight coverage, right? Like that play. Hey, I'm going to catch the ball and I know which shoulder to turn on the outside to get additional yards, to get us another first down when, most receivers would have been like, hey, I'm comfortable getting that 6-7. It at least keeps us, ahead of the chains. And we could just go from there. Man, they ran an RPO where he was wide open on a slant. And it's almost to the point where you're like, hey, guys, that's DeAndre Hopkins. Like, that's a Pro Bowl caliber receiver. You might want to guard him. But he just knows what to do. And even though he doesn't know the full playbook, and even though DeAndre sort of acknowledged that, like, I ran the wrong route, to your point, he still threw him the ball. And amidst a collapsing pocket, it's just
a great throw.
It's an incredible throw. Maybe Josh Allen can do that. Maybe Geno Smith. I don't know anybody else in the league right now other than those two guys who can maybe make that throw in that much amount of traffic, with V of A basically like getting ready to devour him. And the ball, the placement was perfect. And the best part was DeAndre caught the ball and stood up and said, oh yeah, this is what I do. There's no like elaborate celebration. Nope. There's no like, oh yeah, like I just made a play not even I could make. That's the beauty of watching DeMarcus Robinson. Every time he makes a play for the Rams, he's like, even he's surprised.
How about the walk-off catch?
Oh, incredible
walk-off catch for the Rams against the Seahawks in overtime.
Mm-hmm. You could definitely celebrate, but there's part of him where he's like,
I got it.
I just did this with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua as my teammates. Like, I'm leading us to game-winning victories. Whereas, DeAndre Hopkins is like, yes, it's just a Monday. It's just a Monday in week 9. We just keep it going.
But he looks happy. He looks happy to be doing this.
Oh, he was emotional in post-game, the on-field interview that he had there. I mean, he was pretty emotional about being in this spot. He was also still pretty grateful to the Titans. They didn't have to trade him to Kansas City.
Yes.
Especially when now we see the compensation today. Mike Williams goes to the Steelers for a fifth-round pick. The Chiefs traded a fifth-rounder, maybe a fourth if they make the Super Bowl. But the exact same compensation. They got two more games out of Hopkins than what the Steelers are going to get out of Williams. And obviously, let's just be real, DeAndre Hopkins is a better wide receiver than Mike Williams. Not even close.
Like,
Pretty much all the time.
Guys, like, there's a deadline. I would have told this to the Steelers. You don't have to trade for him because once the deadline passes,
cut him.
He's going to get cut. So, like, What are you doing?
Yeah, that's kind of surprising.
Like, okay, if it's a seventh round pick, little pick swap, cool. You know, make it easy, get them in the building sooner rather than later. You could have done that at 4 o'clock. You could have cut. They were going to cut him, I think, tomorrow had he not been traded, and then you could have just picked him up. So, again, the two trades that the Chiefs have made with DeAndre Hopkins and Joshua Uche, like they appear to be above the average of what we're seeing today. Even though I think Marshon Lattimore is a great player, is not. How many picks is it?
It's what, a third, a
fifth,
and a seventh or something. It's like three picks going to New Orleans.
That's a lot.
I feel like the Chiefs were a stalking horse. They were just driving that price up. Just like, I got a fourth for you. Maybe one of these thirds.
Maybe a third. Yep.
Maybe one of these thirds. And they're like, but what else you got? And you're like, what else? What are you talking about?
Yeah. And then the Saints. The Saints leak out that the Chiefs are interested, or a bunch of teams are interested.
And then up comes the price tag.
The Commanders are obviously in a different spot. They got a lot of money to free up for next year.
And God bless them. They have their quarterback. You know, that is legitimate.
Do you think, though, we saw in Buffalo, I think it is, right, that they're going to move on from Mike Edwards? He's getting cut. He was asked for release. He's going to get it. Mm-hmm. He's a safety, not a corner, but do you think, could he come back to Kansas City?
The problem with that is Jaden Hicks is, he's good.
Yeah.
He's a rookie, and he's
good. Did Mike Edwards ever play any corner at all? Would they line him up? So then he's not going
to
be a fit.
You could ask him to maybe be a slot guy in like a dime personnel package. They've obviously did that at times last year based on the availability or the lack of availability from Brian Cook, obviously dealing with the ankle injury. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think they need boundary help more than inside slot.
Does that exist? Does that exist at this point?
I don't think so. And I mean, again, if you're going to make a trade of this, if you're going to make a trade today, the player has to be a clear upgrade based on what you have. And I don't know if there's another cornerback who is a clear upgrade from Nazi Johnson or Joshua Williams or even Christian Roland Wallace, because those guys can be rotated in throughout the course of the season. If the picks are going to take that much, which I think is a bit surprising, then it's probably smart to just stay pat and see if someone from a cornerback standpoint gets released, not necessarily Mike Edwards, even though I think Mark Edwards will obviously fit in the system, do well. I think he's looking at it as, and I understand this, like, who's better, DeMar Hamlin or Mike Edwards?
DeMar Hamlin's actually playing really well this year.
Yeah.
He's playing really well this year.
It's a toss-up based on the scheme, the production, and, like,
history.
Healthy. Like, who can be more consistent? Obviously, Mike Edwards has the postseason experience that DeMar Hamlin is just now starting to get. But I think that's the struggle for him, is I'm not playing as much as I want to. And Tyler Rapp is playing out here. And, you know, he got a lot of trick-or-treat in him as well, where you don't know what's coming out of his production game to game.
I guess this is what doesn't bother me is what you're describing is essentially there is no perfect team.
No.
The Chiefs have the best quarterback.
Yes.
The best interior offensive line. The best interior defensive player in the league. Best coach, GM, quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Defensive coordinator. They got a little bit of problem at tackle.
Mm-hmm.
They got a little bit of problem at corner. Because no perfect teams. Because I could argue they have one of the best top three front sevens in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they got a couple problems here or there. I'll live my life.
Yeah.
I'll be okay.
And the offense can get better. You know, they scored a good amount after having a sort of very shaky first half. But look, I mean, they scored 30 points yesterday. That's their season high. I know it took five quarters, but still, when they had to have it, when they had to get a drive to get a lead or to win the game, they ended up doing it. And so, you know, Isaiah Pacheco is going to come back. There's great belief that Hollywood Brown's going to come back. I've obviously said that before. Juju Smith-Schuster is not on IR, so you might be seeing him in the next, you know, week or two moving forward, you know, now that they have a clear idea as to how they can use DeAndre Hopkins alongside Travis Kelce. Then you put Juju Smith-Schuster on the field with Xavier Worthy. You got four legitimate, really good options to throw the football with. And Kareem Hunt, again, if he can continue this level of production – the offense becomes even more dynamic, explosive, and unpredictable. So that can help you in some areas where, you know, left tackle, it's hard. I saw that, you know, Next Gen Stats and Pro Football Focus actually graded Wanya Morrison very good last night. I don't know. Okay.
I have a different opinion. Yeah. I didn't think he was miserable. I just thought
you're right.
You know,
I don't think he was bad, but I don't think he was like as good as they said he was. But okay, I mean, those grades were more like, I think, reflective of Trey Smith last night.
Especially, he was great,
especially in the run game. Yeah. So if that continues, then okay. Even if the quarterback is not as mobile as you would like because he's not fully healthy, I get the sense that there is no perfect team. But they have such an advantage in the standings. And Patrick Mahomes, as I asked him last night, he's dead on determined to get home field advantage in Arrowhead. Like, we not going to do this again.
I'm not going on the road.
Like we did this last year. If you give us home field advantage with that crowd and that stadium, with all the experience we have, you know, that's quite a tall task for the Bills, the Ravens, obviously, even the Chargers, even teams that are trying to, like, get in the mix. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a tough challenge, and if you stay home, you know, you get such an advantage.
No, the bye week is massive.
Yes, and I think that's what they're hoping to do, even though they might not be able to improve their team today.
Real quick, as we got Nate Taylor from The Athletic joining us, as he does each and every Tuesday. Broncos on Sunday. It's a quick turnaround for everybody on this one. They obviously are coming off a pretty bad loss to Baltimore. They just got beat up. Their defense could not stop Lamar and company. What do you make of this one for Kansas City, just an early look?
I think it's going to have to be kind of a game where you just try to manage everything and hopefully the game doesn't get too wacky, doesn't get too weird.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if they had like a 10-point lead at some point in the first half, and they could just sort of salt it away. Much of this game will come down to Patrick's, you know, mobility, like how much treatment and how much can the ankle get strengthened between now and Sunday, again, on a short bye week. Look, I don't know if Juju's going to play. I would say probably not at this point. But who knows? He might return to practice. The defense has to get pressure on Bo Nix. Because if you get pressure on Bo Nix, he does rookie quarterback things.
Mike Danna could be back?
Yes. Yes, he could be back. Obviously, Josh Uche will play more snaps, one would assume. George Karlaftis is on a nice little tear right now.
Yeah, he is.
And Chris Jones still just – I mean, Chris Jones was collapsing the pocket on double teams last night. Where I
almost
was just,
had that with one late team.
Yeah, he got held like 10 times.
Yes,
they called the hall.
Once. Yes, yeah. I'm shaking my head in the press box. I'm like, guys, no one understands what this man is doing to like a pretty good offensive line where it's just like two guys are just moving backwards 5 yards every time. I know you're throwing the football. So if you get Bo Nix into some non-favorable situations and – you know, some pressure, I assume the blitzes will work against Bo Nix in the ways that they didn't work against Baker Mayfield. I just want to see Bo Nix give us one what the hell you doing pass. Just give us one, baby, because it's a new kickoff. And
that's right.
I mean, I just don't think you're not going to be as, you know, emotionally up for a new kickoff like you would be on primetime. But I just want Bo Nix to do wild things in Arrowhead Stadium. You know, his first time in there.
Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Athletic.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.